Ask any doctor and he will tell you that the heart is a vital organ. It pumps blood throughout the body, and so when it's not working correctly, the entire body suffers, and obviously if the heart completely shuts down, the body dies. Not only for our physical bodies, the heart also has a place and is important in the eyes of God as well. The word heart occurs often in Scripture. And not only does it mean that physical mass of flesh doing what God has designed it to do, but the word heart in Scripture, the cardia in Greek, means the entire hidden life and condition of the person. It is the inside of man that only God can and he does see. The prophet Samuel would hear these words from the Lord, who would tell him, "The Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." That comes to us from 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus would repeat his word to Samuel when he was confronted with the Pharisees, a group of people very concerned about outward appearances. To them, Jesus would say these words, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts." Luke 16, verse 15. God knows your hearts. God searches your heart. He knows what you believe. He sees your thoughts. He knows what you have your heart set on, and that's a problem. That's a real problem for the sinner to hear that the holy, living, righteous God knows every thought within your heart. In today's gospel reading, we hear a lengthy list of sins coming out of that idol factory of man's heart. Hear them again. Evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. Jesus says, all these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. Now, if you recall in last week's text, Jesus had another meeting with the Pharisees. And they weren't too happy because some of Jesus' disciples were washing with unwashed hands. To them, they were violating the sacred tradition of the elders, and because they did so, they were unclean. They were defiled before God because they did not wash their hands before eating. You see, to the Pharisee, godly purity and cleanliness came by observing works of the law. If a person looked clean and tidy on the outside, if his outward appearance looked good, then surely such a person must be right with God. Sounds logical. Sounds reasonable. If you do the right thing and look good on the outside, then God must be pleased with you. If only it were that easy, right? Jesus takes this type of thinking. He takes this false theology, saying that God will declare you clean if you keep his works of the law and adhere to the tradition. Jesus takes that thinking and he turns it on its head. The problem is not with things outside of man, says our Lord. It is not those things outside of the body that defile a man. It is those things within, the evil within a person coming out. That's what defiles the body. It is the inborn corruption of sin, called original sin in our confession. That is what corrupts and defiles the body. And friends, it is because of that sin that we see things like murder, adultery, pride, foolishness. If you've ever wondered, just why are there so many murders in society? If you've ever been appalled by the greed of man, if you have ever shook your head at just another lie from somebody in power, if you've ever wondered why somebody would chance fate by denying the existence of God, if you've ever wondered why there are those people in the world who really do think that they are better and more privileged than others, If you have ever been disgusted by sexual immorality, which is so rampant in culture and the world, if you have ever wondered why sinful thoughts dash into your mind at moments you least expect, brothers and sisters in Christ, our Lord gives us the reason. It is because of the sinful, wicked heart of man. Jeremiah, the great prophet in the Old Testament, says this about the heart. He says, quote, "The heart is desperately sick. Who can understand it?" We know how this is. At one moment, you're thinking about something pleasant and happy, maybe even heavenly. And the very next moment, your mind is racing off in a direction it should not be going in. You leave church refreshed, renewed, then immediately begin to worry and fret about temporal matters. That attractive person walks by and catches your eye just for a moment, but the thought lingers. You're on the computer late at night, and a pop-up comes on your screen, and you think to yourself, why not? It's not going to hurt anything just to take a look. No one's watching. You finally found a way to cheat on your taxes. Yes, you can keep some for yourself instead of giving it to Caesar. Taxes are taxes, lying is lying, cheating is cheating. I went to the Tarrant County Courthouse last week to pay sales tax on my new used vehicle and to get the title transferred. But I admit, the thought was in my mind, you know what, I could fudge on the sales price and pay less tax. What a great idea. Now for some reason, and I don't know why, but I didn't do it. I put the honest price down, but you know what? It wouldn't have mattered because they now ascribe their own value to the vehicle. When I asked the person behind the counter why they did this, he politely told me we were getting a lot of $1 sales. People were saying that they had bought their vehicle for a dollar only to pay taxes on a dollar. Friends, that is not the way God's people are called to live. And yet another symptom of the sinful heart in man. A gospel reading for today hardly sounds like gospel, does it? The gospel is the good news of God telling you what he has done for you, the sinner, freely by grace through the person and work of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. But here in the gospel reading this day, Jesus gives us a litany of things coming out of man that defile the body. Today in the gospel, we hear about sins, and lots of them. And it doesn't make us very comfortable, does it? This is not a portion of God's word that we necessarily like to hear. Come on, Pastor, can't we just skip this section of the Bible and go to a happier section? You mean to tell me that out of my heart comes evil thoughts, sexual morality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness? Out of my heart comes these things? Come on. Yes, they do. This is God describing the sinful condition of man. You may have a defense forming in your mind, but never mind if you've never outwardly and physically murdered somebody. Never mind if you have never outwardly committed adultery on your spouse, because, Christian, inside your heart, that only God sees, it's a different matter, isn't it? God sees every sinful thought by which you shatter his law on a daily basis. That is why it is such a problem for the sinner to hear that God searches and knows the heart. This is also why the Pharisaical notion of having to keep the works of the law and do certain things to be clean before God is a notion carried out in vain. Even the best and noblest work, friends, cannot hide what is within. The heart is filled with sin, and Jesus knows it. But that's why he came. You see, it is precisely because of the problem that Jesus spells out for us in the gospel that he came in the flesh. Remember Jeremiah, the heart is desperately sick. Who can understand it? That's what the prophet says. Christian, if your heart is sick with sin, rejoice. Rejoice, because our Lord and our God specifically has declared unto us in his holy word that he came not for the healthy, but he came for the sick. Jesus comes not for the righteous who think they need no repentance. Jesus comes for the sinner. My friends, Jesus died for sinners. That includes you, and that certainly includes me. God has not left you to die in your sins. God has not left you to take care of your sins on your own. The news is much, much better than that. Cast your fear aside, Christian. Rejoice. Be of good cheer because your sins, all of them, are forgiven. Your Lord Jesus Christ has made sure of it. How? He did not go to the cross of Calvary in vain. Jesus did not die for nothing. Rather, he took your sins. He took all of your sins, past, present, and future, upon his body. And he goes to the cross. And there at the cross, friends, Jesus willingly and lovingly incurs the wrath of God, paying for all of your sins in your stead, in order to present you as one righteous, pure, cleansed and forgiven in the eyes of God. So the sin that defiles, the sin that condemns, the sin that makes us filthy, all of those sins were taken up in the body of Jesus. And as he is on the cross, friends, we look at our Lord and we see him both as the ultimate defiled sinner with all our sins upon him, and yet he is also on the cross the perfect, all-atoning sacrifice for the sins of the entire world. So yes, God does demand purity and cleanliness, but friends, he has given it to you freely through the person and work of our Savior, Jesus. Furthermore, God also gives you a new heart. That is to say, he gives to you a new inner life and condition, possessing the gift that clings to all the merits of Jesus, and that is the gift of faith, friends. Faith, which reaches out and grabs hold of all the promises of God and makes them your own. Faith, believing in the one whom God has sent. So the heart that is clean and pure and holy before God is the heart possessing the gift of faith. If you feel defiled, if you're feeling a little unclean, if you're feeling convicted by God's law, Christian, remember God's word to you. This is from 1 John 3. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. The battle with sin in this life will continue. But friends, remember God's promises to you. When God looks upon his baptized child, one redeemed by the blood of Jesus, what he sees is not a filthy, defiled sinner. But upon the faithful, when he gazes upon them, washed in the blood of Jesus, what he sees is one who is righteous, one who is clean, one who is pure, one who is forgiven for the sake of Jesus. Sin defiles, yes, but take heart, Christian. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus from now until life everlasting. Amen. Let's now rise and sing the offertory.